Hello, beautiful children of God. We love you and we miss you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day, for the joy that it brings and the challenge that it brings. May we rejoice and be glad in it. For those who feel alone, Lord, help us to feel your love and your presence. For those who are tired and feeling hopeless and done, help us to sense that there is hope on the horizon and that it is you. For those precious extra minutes of sunshine each day, thank you. For these few moments when we can set aside our worry and focus on you, when we can breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out fear and anxiety. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine, if you will, a time long, long ago when there was no church. There were no Lutherans or Catholics or Presbyterians. People didn't wake up on Sunday morning and head to the church down the road. There were no church ladies or choirs or ushers or parking lot attendants. Maybe not so difficult to imagine today. No Sunday school or confirmation or preacher in the pulpit doing their best to share God's love. There were synagogues, of course. Jesus was Jewish after all. But the Torah was more focused on what laws needed to be followed to be right with God, not so much the gospel. And then a young man named Jesus comes along. He began teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing the sick. People started paying attention and following him, literally following him. Pre-TV, pre-Insta, pre-Twitter, if you wanted to see and hear what someone was doing or saying, you went out and found them and soaked up what they had to say. One day, Jesus looked behind him and saw all the crowds and knew that he was going to need help getting God's word out. So he gathered up his disciples, went up a mountain, just for a little quiet teaching time, sat down with them, and spoke the words we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. These words taught them the basics of what God expected from them and what God promised them. I love to imagine how this would look today. Perhaps Jesus and his disciples would gather around a picnic table on the hill at Lake Harriet, or on a big rock jutting out over Lake Superior, or in that beautiful old wooden chapel on the shores of Lake Caribou. Understanding the importance of their ministry, the young man gathered around Jesus, memorizing his words. They knew it was up to them, to each generation, to pass down the word of God. What did God really want and expect from God's people? Jesus begins to speak, the crowd hushes, and we hear these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. I have to imagine that this all sounded so very foreign to them, so upside down in their world. It does today, all these years later. What did he say they think? The meek, the peacemakers, the pure in heart, they will be the ones to inherit the earth. They will see God. Can that actually be true? And then Jesus sends them forth with this command. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The very same words we whisper into a baby's ear as we baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Last week, Tom and I took a drive down to Florida to see my mom. It felt so good to hit the road and see some new scenery. Every time we got out of the car to get gas, we'd shed a few layers, and soon we were walking the beach in shorts and t-shirts. It felt so good to be outside with beautiful flowers and greenery and relaxing with my mom. Sometimes we'd completely forget that there was a pandemic going on until we had to mask up and head in town to pick up groceries or turn on the news or pick up a newspaper. The struggle to get a vaccine was everywhere. Folks in their 80s lined up for miles with their walkers only to get to the front of the line and hear they'd run out. People logging in online each morning at 6 a.m. vying for one of the few available appointments all created a sense of shortage and a sense of urgency and a sense of panic. My mom is 81, but you'd never guess it. She's beautiful and active and social, and her love of life is contagious. Like many of you, this now nearly year of living alone and not being able to see her friends and her grandchildren has been hard on her extroverted self. As her daughter, I worry about how she would fare if she got the virus. So I began setting my alarm each morning at 5:45 so I could be sitting at my computer, logged on, and ready to go when the appointments opened up. Sitting there trying to help my mom, I felt like my chances of getting her a COVID vaccination were about as slim as opening a Willy Wonka bar and finding one of the prized golden tickets. Remember Veruca Salt? I felt like her. Her constant cry of, "But Daddy, I want it now," wore her father down to the point that he hired hundreds of workers to open thousands of Wonka bars, all in an effort to get one of the coveted tickets. And then there was young Charlie and his beloved Grandpa Joe, humble as they were, scraping together what little they had to buy a precious few Wonka bars, all to fulfill Charlie's dream of stepping inside that magical chocolate factory. One morning, during the wee hours, the sun not yet up, not knowing I was sitting there, my mom woke up and walked into the kitchen to start a pot of coffee. She jumped when she saw me. "You're up already? What are you doing?" she asked. "I'm just trying to get you a vaccine, Mom." "Oh, honey, please don't worry about that. If God means for me to have one, it'll happen." My mom has always been the pure in heart, the merciful, the peacemaker. She trusts that God is in charge and doesn't spend her life worrying. Me, I'm more of a, "Well, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to help God by getting the shot, by signing up." We live in an age that rewards the wealthy, the loophole finders, the powerful, and the wheeler dealers. The meek and the merciful, not so much. I wish I could be more like my mom. She doesn't worry about the future or look back on the trials of her life with regret. She believes that all of life is part of God's plan, and that if we preached the end times from the pulpit, we would all be less fearful of the bad times, because we would know that ultimately God is in charge. And that if we could but rest in that faith, we could let go of our fear and anxiety today, trusting that we will be with God tomorrow. What I do believe with all my heart and soul is this. Whether, like me, you lean more Veruca Salt, but Daddy, I want it now, or to trusting Charlie and his hopeful Grandpa Joe and to my mom, God knows this about you, and God loves you anyway. Some of us are poor in spirit and hunger and thirst for righteousness, and some of us are meek and merciful and pure in heart. Either way, through no doing of our own, but simply by the pure grace and love of God, we'll all receive the golden ticket. And that is what Jesus was teaching us on that day, on that hill. The Beatitudes, the blessed. That's us. Thanks be to God. Amen.